ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's 2006. Australian TV producer Rhonda Byrne has just published a book called The Secret, based on her earlier film with the same name.
You know, this secret gives you everything you want.
And it's about to become a global phenomenon.
You can have, do, or be anything.
Oprah gets on board, it becomes a New York Times bestseller, and more than 35 million copies are eventually sold, making it one of the best-selling self-help books ever. So, what is The Secret?
The idea that basically if you put out to this higher power a desire, a wish, a feeling, a thought, that the universe, like a magnet, will hear that and then draw those things towards you in your life in this kind of real cosmic way. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you can harness that power.
The Secret isn't the first book to push this kind of idea. It's just the newest edition in the manifesting canon. But it brings the concept to a whole new generation. And now, if you fast forward to present day, social media has turbocharged all of that.
Here's how to manifest something effortlessly.
This technique is to manifest a text message instantly.
Many times I've proven to myself that I can literally manifest money out of thin air.
The key to any technique is to believe in your own power.
The universe is incredibly abundant. Everything that I want also wants me.
Believe that you can and will manifest it, and surprise, it works every single time.
This is All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar. There are more than 160 million views for manifesting content on TikTok alone. It's huge. And the enduring appeal of these kinds of ideas is understandable, because life can be really hard sometimes. Why wouldn't you want to believe that you can manifest the man of your dreams, or $1 million, or whatever else?
It just seems really cool to, like, be able to control what's going to happen.
It's seductive to feel like you have some kind of spiritual way of getting rich.
And part of the appeal has to be the fact that some of the elements of manifesting are grounded in some evidence. Like, there is research to back up the power of positive thinking or how visualizing can help you achieve your goals. But we're going to dig a bit deeper into those kernels of truth, because manifesting isn't always harmless wishful thinking.
We found that manifestors were more likely to have been bankrupt.
And how much more likely were they to
They're
have
about
been bankrupt?
40% more likely.
Wow. Today, the promise and peril of manifesting, and an alternative that's actually got some evidence behind it. The first issue with manifesting is the very term itself. It's kind of a wishy-washy, catch-all term, because it can be a byword for both goal-setting or wishful thinking.
When people talk about manifesting, you know, some people mean this and other people mean that.
It's almost like used as a bit of a joke of like, oh, I just need to like manifest myself this or manifest myself that.
And there seems to be so many ways to do it.
So a lot of people I know like to make vision boards.
This is Alice, a 28-year-old from Perth who sees a lot of this content online.
And I think that's one pretty cool way of manifesting, because then you've got that visual thing to focus on.
And visualizing is a key element to a lot of manifesting claims.
Really visualize that ideal life, those things that you want to manifest.
But Alice is also skeptical of a lot of the claims out there.
A lot of people like sort of tapping their face as they say mantras or using crystals.
And the other thing you'll notice if you watch a lot of this content is there are so many techniques for writing goals down. Here's just one example. It's called the 369 method, and it involves writing down your goal 3 times in the morning, 6 times in the afternoon, and 9 times at night.
So Nikola Tesla believed that the numbers 369 had a powerful impact energetically when it comes to manifesting what you want.
They're so little rituals, right? It really depends on what you believe about those things, you know? If you believe that, hey, I'm going to try these things, if they make me feel better, that's great. But I would say, though, like, what I think it's just about thinking, okay, so what am I going to believe if this doesn't happen for me?
This is Lucas Dixon. He's a researcher and teacher at the University of Queensland Business School, and he studies the success industry, which includes gurus and influencers and the kinds of beliefs their advice encourages.
You know, why is it so specific? That's what I want to know. Why the 3, the 6, and the 9?
Yeah, I want to know that too.
Now, if that's the case, this is what I think to myself, is awesome. That's something you can study. You can do a study on that. You've just given me an awesome, very specific technique. Where's the research on it? When people do this, are they more likely to achieve their goals than people are not? And let's be honest, there's not the research for it.
I double-checked, and he's right. The 369 method doesn't have any actual research behind it, just a lot of claims. And yet, search hashtag 369 method on TikTok, and you'll find that alone has 35 million views.
Every time I look at the TikTok hashtag manifestation, there's like another 10 billion views. So I don't know how this kind of stuff just proliferates.
Yeah.
But I know it's been called all sorts of different things in the TikTok world now, like it was some kind of method or this thing or that thing.
There's also like new variations of sort of the term like adopted for Gen Z, like hashtag lucky girl syndrome and hashtag Delulu. It's a bit of delusional thinking. That one's kind of winking a little bit at some of the ridiculous edges of this kind of thinking.
Great. So you know more about that. I'm just an old sticker, right? But
right.
Again, it's like if you take it lightly, like I said, it's not that big a deal.
But many people don't just take it lightly. For a time, Lucas took it very seriously. Before becoming an academic, he worked in the music industry for many years, and he hit a point where he found himself feeling burnt out.
And I was feeling like I was drifting and I wanted a new change. And I thought I wanted to make a difference in the world, help people. And I trained as a counselor and a hypnotherapist. And I guess I did get more into it in that phase when you're around other people that are also really believing in the power of the mind. And it depends on who you speak to, right? Sometimes it's like a very almost quasi-religious thing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes people say it's just, you know, your unconscious mind. Like if you say positive things to yourself, it'll just grow something inside of you that will just keep you on your path.
Mm.
And what happened was that people would come in and I would be like their last chance, you know, people with terminal cancer or chronic pain or addiction. And, you know, at the back of their minds, I could tell it was like, could the power of my mind cure or heal this? And so I began to realize how serious or, you know, consequential the next thing that I said to these people could be.
The real turning point for Lucas was this one particular meeting he had with his training supervisor, who made a comment to a fellow trainee about their cancer returning.
And the supervisor, who I knew was a very strident believer in the power of positive thinking in the mind, and just I knew they were quite extreme in that belief. And the supervisor just blurted out without a thought, "Oh, you just keep popping those things out, don't you?"
As in thinking that woman gave herself cancer by not thinking positively enough?
Yeah, that she was either not thinking positively enough or that she was, there must be something that's created this inside your mind. So
wow.
Maybe negative thoughts you don't even know about, maybe beliefs that you're holding, you know, in your body. And I just realized that this supervisor was sitting with clients every day with that kind of attitude. And I just imagine the damage that could do. That's how I realized that this is not, that there is definitely a line here. And if you cross that line, it can be really dangerous.
But how do you assess where exactly that line is? Because as I mentioned, the thing that makes manifesting tricky is that parts of it are grounded in evidence-based techniques like affirmations, positive thinking, visualizing. But it's also true that the evidence isn't so straightforward. Take, for example, the power of positive thinking.
The power of optimism and hope is well known. There are famous examples. There are therapies built around it, like logotherapy, which was something that Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, being in the concentration camps, I think he was in Auschwitz, and how important it was for him to make some kind of positive positive meaning out of his life each day. And it was obviously more complex than what I'm just saying, but basically the idea that you can be resilient through hard times is something I think that we've established is important. Reframing situations is important.
So positive thinking doesn't mean you ignore life's problems. It means you approach the bad stuff in a more positive and productive way. And there's research linking that kind of thinking to longer lifespans and better physical health, better mental health, better well-being overall. But when it comes to actual behavior change, positive thinking can also backfire.
You might think that if you want to change your behavior towards fulfilling your wishes, positive thinking does the trick. Well, it does the trick in terms of that it puts you momentarily in a good mood.
This is Gabrielle Otien. She's a professor of psychology at New York University, and she researches motivation and how the way that people think about the future can affect their behavior.
It also does the trick that you can mentally explore all the possibilities of the future. But when it comes to actually implementing these possibilities, then positive thinking in terms of daydreaming and fantasizing is actually an impediment. So we find, for example, that the more positively people fantasize about success in a weight reduction program they had enrolled in, the fewer pounds they shed 3 months later, 1 year later, two years later. Or take students, the more positively they fantasized about success in an exam, the worse they did.
That's so disappointing.
It is so disappointing.
It's also so counterintuitive. Like, why would thinking positively about the future hamper a person's ability to reach their goals? To find out, Gabrielle and her team did some experimental research where they made some people fantasize about the future in a positive way.
And in the other groups, we induced negative fantasies or irrelevant thoughts or factual thoughts or no thoughts.
And what she found is that people in the positive fantasy group felt they had already accomplished their goal.
They were already there. And what did they do? They relaxed. And you can measure that by reduced blood pressure. Or you can just ask people, how energized do you feel with respect to implementing your fantasies? So they feel relaxed after feeling already accomplished. So what does this positive fantasy do? It relaxes people. It zaps the energy.
That is the opposite of what manifestors claim.
So by setting it and forgetting it, that's how you get into that energy of it is done, and your manifestation has to show up.
For them, positive thoughts are positive energy that you put out there in the universe, and that's what you're going to attract back.
This is where it starts to get sensitive, and I think it's because it really ties into people's worldviews and their spiritual beliefs.
Lucas wanted to investigate this worldview, and he wanted to learn more about the psychology of people who believe you can really manifest an outcome just by focusing on a goal and thinking about it and writing it down, visualizing it, saying affirmations, whatever it is. That the universe will pick up on that energy and deliver the outcome you desire.
People tend to talk about manifestation in different ways, but what we had to do when we were designing a way of measuring the degree to which people believe it is think about what are the things that kind of unify people who believe in manifestation? What are the main things that are kind of there in most people? And it tends to be these two things. It tends to be the belief in what I called cosmic collaboration. So the idea that it's not just you and your mind, it's you, your mind, and this kind of other entity. So it's sometimes called the universe, the cosmic consciousness, God, some people might call it. Or even like in, say, if you read the book The Secret, you'll see like quantum, this idea of quantum physics that is quite sort of out there. The idea that basically if you put out to this higher power a desire, a wish, that the universe, like a magnet, will then draw those things towards you in your life in this kind of real cosmic way. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you can harness that power. So it's not just the idea of doing positive affirmations or doing visualizations, but it's the belief that those things get you into a state of receiving, and then the universe rearranges things for you.
Lucas and his colleagues surveyed just over 1,000 people, and here's what they found out about the real-world outcomes for those who believe strongly in these ideas.
So on the positive side, people who believe in manifestation tend to rate themselves as more hopeful, more optimistic. They've got higher aspirations in life, you know, to be wealthy, to be rich, to have a better family life, relationships. On the negative side, that doesn't seem to translate into objective measures of success insofar as success, say, is income. They don't tend to have higher income than anyone who sort of doesn't believe in manifestation, don't tend to have higher education attainment or things like that. So it doesn't seem to translate into giving people an edge over others in that case.
As part of the series of studies, which were published in 2023, Lucas also wanted to know whether believing in manifesting affected a person's appetite for financial risk. And it did. Big manifestors were more likely to believe in get-rich-quick schemes and to invest in things like cryptocurrency,
which is a fairly volatile type of financial investment.
But the most troubling and headline-worthy finding was that people who believed highly in the power of manifesting were more likely to have been bankrupt.
We just asked people, have you been bankrupt in the past? They knew that what they were going to say was confidential, and they said, yes, currently I'm bankrupt, yes, in the past, or no, that they haven't been. And so as people score higher on the manifestation scale, they're about 40% more likely to have been bankrupt.
That's pretty huge. That feels like a really big indictment of the power of manifesting.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to talking about why that might be, although we didn't look at why that might be in these set of studies. I think we've got some ideas about what that might be and what we could look at in the future.
Yeah, tell me about that. Like, is it because they're more willing to take risks?
Yeah, partly. So the idea that you're kind of protected, or you've got this edge through manifestation, that there's no real limits to what you can achieve. So this is one of the beliefs that you see really come back in a lot of the literature on manifestation, right? That there's really no limits. It really doesn't matter if you're asking for $1 million or you're asking for $100. It's all about how in alignment with that belief you really are. But there's a couple of other things that I think are involved here. So one is the idea of confirmation bias. And it's the idea that you're more likely to believe evidence that supports what you already believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more likely to require less evidence to confirm that belief. Whereas on the other side of things, when someone says something that sort of bumps up against what you believe, you require more evidence to sort of change your beliefs of things. Now, when it comes to manifestation, this comes out in that you're told that you really have to focus on all of the wins, not the misses, the hits. So for example, you hear about people like Jim Carrey. He's got this famous speech, I think he's speaking to Harvard alumni or someone like that, where he's saying, listen, I wrote a check to myself for $10 million and it was sitting there for years and it said, for services rendered, it's a check, and I just manifested that. One day, 10 years later, I got that exact check. And the thing is with that is yes, that might confirm what we kind of hope or believe, but we're not actually thinking about all of the people that have also written checks and that hasn't happened for.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And you when you add those into the equation, then it's much more likely that you'll write a check and nothing will happen.
You know,
so that's one issue. But then another issue, I think, and it's sort of related, is positive thinking, if it's the thing that causes success and failure, then what happens when you're in debt? Now, if you believe in manifestation, you've created that.
Mm.
Like if you really believe, right? So it's your negative thinking, a limiting belief, a lack. So you better start to think more positively about that. Otherwise, you're just going to keep creating more and more of that, you know? And so the problem is now you're not focusing on the debt and what you need to do to be able to alleviate that,
right.
You're only focusing on the positives. And sure, that might mean that you take some positive actions, but sometimes you need to put your attention on things that are uncomfortable.
How do you recommend people manifest effectively then? Like, how can they understand where to draw the line between positive thinking and the, you know, benefits that can come from that and delusional thinking?
I think you need to think about, like, why are we calling it manifesting? Is it just because it's a trendy term, or like, what is it? Manifesting, the word, to me at least, means that something just comes into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the right way, really, to think about most big goals in life. Like, I consult with small businesses and solopreneurs sometimes. I work with them to try to marry the head and the heart and the idea of your head in the clouds and your feet firmly planted on the ground. Mm. It is about balancing that, right? We need to set big goals. We need to be creative. We need to find something that we're passionate about. But we also need to ground that in. So, for example, if you're going ahead in your business just thinking, wow, I love what I do. This is awesome. But what about, are you good at it? Are you competent at it? That's something that in this world of the success industry, we're just told it's just because you don't believe in yourself enough. And sometimes when you don't feel confident, and I know this is uncomfortable, sometimes it's because you're not competent at that thing, right?
Yeah. I think that's so funny and so interesting. You know, if you're not confident, perhaps you're not competent, because that is so not a message we hear in our culture these days anymore. It is very much, you know, try harder, think more positively, you can make it happen. If you're not confident, fool yourself into confidence kind of thing. We don't really hear the message where maybe you should just accept that that thing isn't for you.
It's either accept that it's not for you, or what can you actually do about it? You can actually learn and get better. Right. And maybe it will be for you in another year. I mean, that's kind of what it was for me. It's like I was really into research and understanding things. I had no skills to be able to do that until I went to university and spent 8 years, you know, learning how to do it. And I feel much better for it. It's a real sense of self-esteem rather than sort of painting over with a positive affirmation.
And so is an alternative, like what are some alternatives to manifesting then? Like is goal setting a way
I mean,
to go,
I think that's like what we're, yeah, that's what people think about, right? I think when they think about goal setting is it's putting yourself into a positive space and thinking about things. So Gabrielle Erterton's probably the researcher that's done the most on something that's, I guess, as close to manifestation as you can get. And that's the idea that visualization is an important part. So thinking big about the future, it is an important part. People that set bigger goals, they tend to achieve bigger goals, right? But that's not enough.
Manifesting, you know, gives us paradise on earth.
So what is psychology professor Gabrielle Otien's alternative to manifesting? Well, it's got a slightly strange name. It's called WOOP, W-O-O-P, but it's based on her 2 decades of research on motivation. And it harnesses the best of what manifesting has to offer, like the goal setting and visualizing, as Lucas just mentioned, but it also converts that to action.
If we manifest, then we just say to ourselves that this will come, it will come, it will come. We fantasize about it. But that makes us passive. So WOOP stands for wish, outcome, obstacle, and plan.
Here's a brief overview of how it works. Step one is selecting a wish.
A wish that is dear to your heart, but at the same time, it's also feasible for you, but still a little challenging.
Step two is to think about what would be the best outcome if you fulfill that wish.
How would I feel? And you find that best outcome, that best feeling, and you summarize it in few words. And then you imagine that best outcome, and you really vividly imagine it.
Then this is where you change gears. Instead of staying in that positive imagining, you now think about what stands in your way and you plan for those obstacles.
And that obstacle needs to be in you, because what is in you, you can control, you can change. And finding this inner obstacle is the critical step in mental control. And by finding that obstacle, you understand that you're not there yet. You haven't fulfilled yourself that wish. So that gives you the energy to overcome that obstacle. And that's the reason why it is so important to not stay alone in the future, like with manifesting, but kind of link the future to the obstacle of reality.
The other thing that makes WOOP different to manifesting is that you can walk away from your goal. That's not considered a failure to manifest properly, or more accurately, a failure to WOOP properly.
It might be that you feel this obstacle is too costly for me. Or you might say, maybe it's the wrong time point. Now, for example, when you have an exam next day, you might not sort of fulfill the wish of doing 2 hours of exercise. Or if the obstacle is really such that you cannot overcome it, you can let go from the wish and then invest your energy in other wishes which are more promising.
That's really interesting because, yeah, there's a huge dose of realism in Whoop, which feels a little bit at odds with like the American idea of like, you know, you can be anything and you can do anything. You just have to set your sights to the sky and the sky is the limit. Do you find people struggle to accept something like Whoop because there's this, you know, dominant idea of what it means to reach for goals and set goals?
Yes, we do find Whoop is much more difficult to bring to people than positive thinking. In a way, Whoop frees you up. I mean, it makes you really free because you can understand, this is what I want and this is what I can do. And this is what is probably outside of my possibilities. And that's fine. No, because then you can accept it.
Yeah, it's making me think for people who are inclined to think the sky is the limit for their ambition, what they probably aren't considering is the sky is the limit for their disappointments as well.
Exactly.
Gabrielle has studied the efficacy of Whoop, and specifically its mental contrasting element, in a number of scenarios.
The academic domain, the interpersonal domain, the health domain.
And she's also investigated the mechanisms underlying why it works.
What mental contrasting does is it triggers non-conscious processes that then influence the behavior change. So it connects the future with the obstacle of reality. And the obstacle of reality with the behavior to overcome the obstacle. So when I then consciously think about the future, these processes are triggered, then make for the behavior change.
So there are evidence-based methods and options out there for people who are goal-oriented and want to think big about the future. And if you're a big listener of All in the Mind, some of the concepts Gabrielle covered might sound familiar. We talked about mental contrasting in another episode titled Visualization and Values, Goal Setting Like a Winner. And if you want to find out more, you can find that episode by Googling the name plus All in the Mind or scrolling back in your podcast feed. Now, if you're still not convinced that manifesting isn't necessarily the best way to go about achieving your goals, here's what Lucas has to say about how you can parse through the content you see online.
When you're listening to someone talking about manifestation, you might want to think, what are they getting from this? You know, if they're selling a course or, you know, they're selling you something, perhaps they've got a vested interest in having you believe that they can show you how to do this.
This is where I should mention that Whoop is free. You don't have to pay to use it or implement it. You can learn it on your own.
The other thing is that any belief system, I don't care what it is, that requires you to have faith and the idea that if you are skeptical about it, if that is seen as something that's detrimental in your group or they're just being negative or it's not going to be effective to you, I would be wary of those things because I think that what any kind of tightly knit group, polarized group, extremist group has is they shut down any dissent. And so it's, you know, try to just notice if you're getting shut down with your critical thinking, if people are trying to stop you from thinking skeptically and reality-based about things, because I think, yeah, that can be an entryway into that extreme.
That is Lucas Dixon, researcher and teacher at the Business School at the University of Queensland. And you also heard from Gabrielle Otien, professor of psychology at New York University. And if you want to find out more about her Whoop strategy, you can go to whoopmylife.org. Also, you heard from Alice, a 28-year-old from Perth who is manifesting curious.
I've been through like all the viewpoints, so I definitely feel like, oh, this is stupid, like, why would this work? And then I've been through the viewpoints of like, I must start manifesting and I must start doing it regularly.
Someone similar to Alice is listener Jenny in the Northern Territory, who wrote into us and asked us to do a show on this topic. So thank you, Jenny, for the story idea. And if you've got an idea that you think would make for an interesting episode of All in the Mind, send us an email. We're at mind_rn@abc.net.au. Thanks to producer Rose Kerr and sound engineer Isabella Troppiano. This episode was written and presented by me, Sana Kadar. And finally, thank you for listening. I'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.